Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings. This is Michelle Mache, your fellow guide and fellow spiritual traveler upon the path. Sylvia is already asking me a question, do I see people's auras? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And the energy or the presence of them. Those of you that like to call in, the number is 347-539-5122, and you can either call in or put any of your questions or comments or feedback in the chat room, however you feel most comfortable. And I always love feedback, so if you have comments after the show, you could email me via the Blog Talk radio, and I will do my best to answer them or get you the source to be able to answer. And also any upcoming shows or any questions that you would like, if you notice that we're having specific guests on, you know, you can pre-email any of the questions or comments. Now I want you to ask yourself, and a lot of you may have already been asking yourself this, if you have had a longing or a yearning or an awareness of another place, another dimension, or fitting in elsewhere. I used to call it when I was growing up, you know, I'd look back at pictures, whether on my own or with friends, family, or even we had a group high school photo, and I was always looking up to the sky or looking around like, what's going on? What's everybody doing? So if you are looking around in your life, like, what's the big deal? Or just kind of puzzled. If you look back at some of your pictures and you notice there's a puzzled look on your face or disengaged, or not quite seeing what everybody's making a big deal about or what's so important, or even seeing things that others are not seeing, this is definitely, I think, a show that's going to answer some of those questions. Also feeling very connected to animal beings, feeling very empathetic to other people, being able to know what they're going through if they're not saying it, and animal beings being very connected to you. And as well as children, little baby beings, then I think you're going to get some answers on this also. So today, in fact, I'm going to be calling him in a minute. We're going to be dialoguing with Dr. Richard Boylan. Some of you are aware of him and his work. He's a consultant to Star Kids and Star Seeds, seeking to understand their origin better. And actually, he believes his mission is helping them understand their identity, their growth, their path. Actually, Dr. Boland's career has spanned 4 decades of service as a psychologist, social worker, hypnotherapist, a retired clergyman. He was a clergyman at one point, an educator, and a space anthropologist. And Dr. Boland has served as a lecturer at California State University, that's in San Clemente, and University of California, Davis, the National University, Chapman University, and Sierra College. And now since 1989, Dr. Boland has conducted research into human encounters with star visitors. So my perception is a lot of this is, in a sense, coming out of the closet, and a lot of us starseed, I call them starseed light beings, are coming, we're converging. That's part of the awakening. That's why we're all meeting, to remember the truth of who we are, reassume this aspect of self, this awareness, if you want to say of our origins or our other dimensionality, however you want to phrase it. But basically, I feel that it's to move into this new era, this new age, this has to be done more on a collective level. It's not just some of us here and there knowing this and kind of talking behind, you know, closed doors about this, but really making this more in the mainstream and more, you know, more well aware, and that it is not something that we're crazy. Okay, so let me give Dr. Boland a call, and I hope he's going to go over his 42 attributes. That's what got me really interested in. Hi, Dr. Boland. You're on the line. You're on the line with Awakenings. I'm doing great. I'm really very, very excited, pleased that you were able to take the time out of your busy schedule.
No problem, Michelle. I'm glad to talk.
Yeah. I already did a bit of an intro, and a lot of people already know of you and your work, but I did give a little bit of background. And I want to say how I was first introduced to you was on an interview on Paranormal 101, and when you were reading, which I hope at some point, you know, later on we can touch on this, the attributes of the starseed beings, starseed kids or starseed adults, I just, it was like coming home. I started crying. I'm just sitting there, and I don't know how many, 42, and you had certain numerical numbering of them, and when I added mine up, it was, the number was 54. And I was like, my God, I knew it all along, and it makes sense. And here somebody is saying this and reaching out and giving us all this information and, in a sense, a place to go. It's just great. I'm really, you know, thankful that you're doing this work and that you've been doing this work, actually, that you took the time. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you found out the 54-item StarKid Starseed Identification Questionnaire. And people can take that. It's online on my website in the StarKid Starseed section. And you just add up your yeses. A few yeses are worth more than 1 point. But if you're lazy, you just add up the yeses. And if you get to 16, then you can be pretty confident that points to you being a starseed. And
yeah.
To know about oneself, you know, mm-hmm. I think I always tell people when we get into these kinds of discussions is everybody has a right to their own personal identity and knowing it fully.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just like an adopted kid wants to know what his real parents were like, you know, there should really be no compartment of ourselves that we haven't looked into and discovered fully what we're made out of, who we are, and what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it was so? It's been so underground for so long.
Well, money talks, and the cabal, the geo-plutocratic cartel of controllers that manipulate governments and society on a global scale, have spent billions of dollars over the last half century. Suppressing information about UFOs and needless to say about star visitors being here and even more needless to say about a number of people being transformed by the star visitors being here, including biologically some of them by their parents having some reproductive material borrowed and, well,
mm-hmm.
in our terms, we'd say gene spliced with a little bit of star visitor genes, so that the resulting kid really is much more advanced. They grow up faster, brighter, and have double handfuls of psychic abilities, tend in many cases to have more robust immune systems,
mm-hmm.
Tend to process information more rapidly and in novel and different ways than many school teachers are ready for, and some of these kids awry of the school system because they're sitting there drumming their fingers while teacher tells some of the kids 4 + 4 = and they're already looking at permutations of that
mm-hmm.
or talking about history and they know differently because the star visitors have shown them
something. Mm-hmm. We know the real history.
Yeah,
right.
The unveiled history, you know, so these advanced citizens, and many of them have been around long enough to be grown-ups now, although the real wave came in the late 80s, is the best I can measure it, the tidal wave of star kids. But some are around to be starseed adults, and some are fewer or even been around long enough to be starseed senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
We're here, and it's good for folks who are just getting on board this subject to look at it and look at themselves, because in my experience, the kind of people that are drawn to these kinds of discussions often kind of at an instinctual level recognize that this is something about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what touched me so much when I, you know, since now have been reading your material as well as, you know, in the interview. It almost seems to be there needs to be one of you in every school, you know, because a lot of times, you know, people, the kids start speaking. I know I did, and I years ago taught preschool and kindergarten, and though I did have some children that knew things, remembered me from other lifetimes. I mean, they would just come up with stuff uncensored, and I would almost cringe when other teachers came around because I thought, oh no, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna condition it out of them and say you're making it up or you don't know anything, and that seems to be what happens. Kind of people start getting fuzzy and you know, not remembering because you're told that you're making something up or this is impossible or you can't know that or you can't remember that or, you know, that doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah, all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of the STAR kids are starting to get rather good at sort of being like secret agents. They go underground and have one life for the teacher and the classroom and another life with their friends after school in their neighborhood where they're feel a little freer to be themselves, and they can talk and trade experiences when they find fellow STAR kids to chat with. And it's too bad. Yes, it'd be wonderful if there were a STAR kid counselor in every school. It'd be wonderful if we had in every community STAR kids and STAR Seed adult workshops to make people aware of this phenomenon and the reality and all of the stuff that's been covered up for many decades. But it's true. People find this erupting in their own lives, and one of the most striking and repetitive things I hear from people when they finally kind of catch up with this and they're talking with me is, they say, my God, Dr. Martin, you know, you're the first person who's made sense out of me my whole life. I've been a mystery to myself, to my family, and everybody around me, and now finally I understand who I am, why I am this way.
Yeah.
And why it's a little different than the stereotype you hear about in the newspaper.
Yeah. I know my dad used to say, honey, you're just different. We don't quite know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't squash it, but they kind of didn't really know what to do. And,
well,
you know.
You at least got half of a break.
Yeah.
You know, so many families squash it. I guess I have a little compassion for parents who just scratch their heads and don't know what to make of it, but don't discredit it.
Mm-hmm.
But how much nicer, and I've known a number of STAR kids who are growing up in families where the parents are STAR seeds and know what it's all about, endorse their
kids,
understand them, encourage them, even teach them. Even.
Ah.
I mean, these kids just explode out of the box with that kind of nurturing environment, and that's what we need to have on a wholesale basis in this society.
Yes.
You know, people talk about doing a makeover. We need to do a societal makeover, and the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Yeah, that would be amazing to have parents or some place to go. I know you do some, you know, workshops, and there's, you know, only one of you. But and by the way, are you training people to kind of go out in the field, maybe to, you know, to do this kind of stuff? I don't know, hold the space, I guess.
Well, at two levels, yes.
Okay.
First of all, there is actually more than one of me. Our STAR Kids project has several people. Mary Rodwell, a nurse in Australia, is vice president. She holds workshops there. And Marion McNeil is a hypnotherapist in Texas who talks with people and does the work in her circle.
Mm-hmm.
Various STAR Kids STAR Seed workshops, I have used a couple other facilitators too who now know the ropes and are experienced and empowered to spread the word in their communities. And indeed, in the STAR Kids STAR Seed adult workshops, we, at the end, I always make the point to everybody, now that you've had the package presented and we've all talked with each other and you've got this out in front of you in an understood way, you're hereby deputized to go out and spread the word. You know, each of you can be a kind of Paul Revere to go in your community and spread the word, wake people up. There's so many sleeping STAR kids and STAR seed adults who are puzzled and confused, but they can't quite put their finger on what's going on because the papers and the TV don't tell them anything, and they just haven't put it together yet. But once a Starseed person kind of openly witnesses and speaks up about this, other people kind of sheepishly come out of the closet and say, well, now that you mention it, I've had this too,
yeah.
The psychic experience too, that it seems to come around me or I accidentally generate. So we need to do that, you know, like Dr. Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez or others, mm-hmm. many organizers, including perhaps the most famous one currently running for president, Barack Obama. They all did grassroots up kinds of social change movements, and mm-hmm. that's what I'm convinced is going to happen with the Starseed. We can't wait for President Bush or the next president to say, you know, I hereby officially recognize the Star Kids and Star Seeds are real.
Mm-hmm.
It probably isn't going to happen. It has to come from the grassroots up, one person awakening the next,
mm-hmm.
and that multiplies, and that multiplies, and that's how I think it's going to get done.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would tend to agree with you, looking at things how they do tend to evolve more on a grassroots level, and then as you say more that the cobble, those that are pulling the strings, that they don't necessarily have a vested interest to reveal this or come out with this themselves.
Well, to the contrary,
yeah.
Fight it tooth and nail as viciously as possible and as comprehensively as possible, because they see this as inimical to their maintaining power, staying in power, because once the Starseeds and Star Kids recognize themselves and understand their abilities, and the Star Kids and Star Seeds also aren't just a kind of a vaudeville act of see how many psychic tricks I can do. These are highly developed spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
These are highly developed humanely kinds of persons. They are compassionate. They
mm-hmm.
abhor violence. They want to operate with transparency. They choose to deal with others in a kind of enlightened heart place kind of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And these are transforming ways of interacting with one another. And the cabal are all about fear and dominance and propaganda and appealing to people's basic instincts of materialism, greed for money, and
they're fear-based.
Pleasure. And, you know, if they can tweak all that stuff and get you distracted, then you're jumping through their hoops, and that's just the way they like it. But the Star Kids and the Star Seeds completely sweep aside that whole manipulative paradigm, so the cabal controllers are not the slightest bit happy with this Starseed Star Kid thing getting out of the closet,
mm-hmm.
but out of the closet it's coming.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Bolin, we have a question from Ms. Pavo in the chat room about, and I know you get this a lot, that because I read about it in your book, the Crystal Kids and the Indigo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're the same or similar.
Oh, yeah. The way I answer that is like this, that the indigo term and the crystal term and some people throwing a couple others around were earlier attempts to label this phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm certainly not the first person to notice that kids are different. In fact, I've talked to old-time school teachers who taught for a couple decades, and I ask them, you know, teacher, are the kids of today in your classroom the same as kids 20 years ago? Oh, no, they're very different. And how are they different? Well, they can't quite put their finger on it, but of course they tend to process information differently. I'm not the first one to discover this by any means, and some of the people who have also noticed that there's a new crop of kids growing up these days use labels like indigo or crystal.
Mm-hmm.
They try to even develop a list of characteristics about them. I've looked at those lists, and the indigo one I have some problems with. I don't think it's terribly accurate in places. They seem to think that unless you're a juvenile delinquent, you're not a genuine indigo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm here to tell you Star Kids are not juvenile delinquents, and maybe a few of them are, but it's not a characteristic of
being
a Star Kid. So, you know, that early list and formulation wasn't the most developed.
I've really done, scientific research on this subject, and the people who developed those labels earlier did not come at it from a scientific research kind of a way, or sort of ad hoc. So, those were perhaps good faith efforts, but I think the StarKid formulation, I list 54 characteristics, that there are more, but I didn't want to exhaust people. But it's certainly much more thorough and comprehensive way of describing who these people are. And the other thing is that in these earlier labels, they do not speak to the star visitors, our extraterrestrial fellow citizens, nor do they speak to the star visitors intervening with humans, and that star kids and star seeds, many of them are either advanced because they have a speck of star seed genetics in their overall genetics, or because some of them are a star visitor incarnated as a human this time around, but keeping enough of the old kind of memory and energy level and abilities that they brought with them into this human lifetime, that they operate at a higher level than an ordinary human would. So the star heritage of the star kids and star seeds is critical, and to leave that out of the description, I think, really is only half the story. So I really prefer to work with the star kid and star seed adult labels as much more fully descriptive of what's going on with these people.
Well, for me, it really makes sense and indicates, because the it's more all encompassing. Also on a metaphysical level, the indigo is just simply the mental plane, the mental realm. So perhaps coming more from that space than an emotional. I agree. I would think it's more, more complete. Now, if you can share a little bit, how did you get on this journey of this being your path, your mission, and how did you, where were you when you started seeing these children? You've been doing this for a long time, 30 years now, so you really, you're the go-to guy, Dr. Boland. It's true, because there's not much research. You've done quite a lot of research on this.
Yeah, before we get too far down the road, I suppose I should mention the website address so people
I put it in the chat.
Perked up by this.
Okay.
All those listening live, too,
okay.
Which there will be some. www.drboylan.com. That's drboylan.com. And a ton of information there. So anything we don't touch on today that you want to know about, you can find there. And I also put on there my StarKids book about this whole generation of StarKids and StarSeed adults that are with us now and poised to transform our society is online there too, as a online free book. All you need to do is go to that link in the StarKids section and download it or read it online as you may choose. And a ton of information there, as I think you can attest to. Now, my start in this voyage, I guess I'll say I started out as a mild-mannered psychologist and, for about 30 years of professional life, and then I started to run across something that they had never talked about in grad school and certainly did not prepare us for professionally, and that was UFO phenomenon, the fact that UFOs not only zip through our skies, they land and people get out and come up and talk to humans and interact with them, and in some cases take them for a ride and show them things and explain things to them. And I had known about a UFO reality, having been being around for many decades, and old enough to remember when my parents were talking about the Roswell saucer crash in 1947, and I thought, gee, that's neat. People from another world appear. Mm. And then in 1952, when the Zeta craft flew over the nation's capital night after night in July of that year, and then big headlines and photographs in the papers, and this is before the UFO cover-up, they're here and they're letting us know. Then, of course, next year they clamped down with the UFO cover-up, and that's the last honest reportage we had on the subject. And whole generations have grown up now, have never seen an honest headline. But too late, some of us who've been around for a while remember the days when they reported the news of UFO sightings, like the weather, just another fact of the day.
Wow, they really did.
Yep.
They did.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, you go back newspaper archives before 52 on back, you will find that. And there were whole citizen clubs excited about, you know, night watches looking for saucers after work and so forth.
Hmm.
You won't hear a whisper about that, but that was the atmosphere in those days before they clamped down with the cover-up and trotting out scientists to ridicule us and giving alternative false explanations for what people were seeing. but fast forward to 1977 when I saw my first UFO with my own naked eyes when I was hiking with a friend, and he and I saw one about a couple thousand feet above our heads. And that there's nothing like seeing one for yourself to end the debate about whether they're real or not. That's for darn sure.
So true, yeah.
And then fast forward again to 1989. I started getting people coming into my counseling office who, after they talked about ordinary everyday problems, let their hair down all along and say, "Well, doc, I got one more for you here. You're probably going to commit me to the state mental hospital, but here goes." And they talked about an encounter they had with a star visitor in their bedroom that one night or several nights. I listened to these people out. I, of course, by that time was familiar with enough with them and certainly expert as a long-seasoned psychologist to know people who are sane from people who are mentally ill. So I knew it wasn't that. 95% of the people who talked about these things were completely mentally sound, and many of them held responsible positions, one being a notable Republican figure in California political circles. I'm not going to mention his name, but, these people didn't just fall off the turnip truck. They're outstanding citizens in the community. And I knew we had something real here, and that they were reporting actual events. And I used other techniques I know, cross-comparing stories and details. It became very clear very soon that these stories lined up, including it in the most intricate details, in ways that people couldn't just make up, because they would all of them spontaneously come up with the same idea about an insignia on a uniform or how many fingers a particular star race had, and so forth. This is way before any kind of star visitor information was available popularly, any kind of detailed, accurate information. So, I was on the pioneer edge, but it was exhilarating, exciting, as well as spellbinding.
What did you think when you were first hearing this? I mean, did you...
Well, I knew that UFOs are real, and obviously people were flying them, so star visitors are real. I was aware of earlier reports of encounters, Benny and Barney Hill, and Incident Exeter, and so forth, various reports, but I'd never met any of those people who said they had those experiences, and being a cautious scientific type, I waited for the evidence to come in. Well, it came in right in my lap in my office. As person after person came in, I got a... I've now talked to well over 500 people personally, and gone over their experiences, and certainly have a big enough database, putting it in those terms, to be able to, and I have reported my findings as scientific research evidence, you know. And so to get back to the starseed aspect of this, after I met enough of these experiencers of star visitor contact, and many of them were confused and intimidated by society's denial of the reality of this and feeling adrift, I formed a kind of a experiencer group so that these people could come and meet other people and see that they didn't have two horns coming out of their heads and they didn't wear propeller beanies. They were ordinary regular citizens with this odd experience in common that they'd been visited by somebody from another star system. And that they found this terribly supportive and helpful. And then as this went on for a number of years, and I watched as these experiences went on to have kids and watched their kids start to grow up, and I noticed, and they were telling me too, that these kids were different. They were much more advanced, they grew up faster, they walk faster, talk sooner, talk more adult-like, had cosmic perspective, not just, you know, what's going on down the block. Many of them remembered their previous incarnation as a star being, remembered their previous family, said, "You're nice, Mommy and Daddy, but I remember my real Mommy and Daddy up there," and they point towards the star. You know, this kind of stuff goes on over and over again, and I knew we had a new breed of human happening here, and then I started to look around, and the more recent years started doing some field research and started to kind of systematize these accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to writing the Star Kids book and the statistics. I did some field research, a sampling technique, and extrapolating it to the U.S. and to the global population. And it's pretty gripping. Let me just give you a couple samples. You can see the progression of star kids and star seeds into our society. When you talk about people who are over 60 years old, such as I am, only 1 in 8 was a star seed. And, of course, nothing in society supported that awareness, so they were kind of sleeping star seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Almost none of them were aware that they were star seeds in those days. And they really only woke up more recently as this phenomenon's kind of come out of the closet a bit, at least in the UFO community.
So they would have the attributes but not sure what that meant then.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Then you get into the middle-aged crowd, 45 to 60, or, well, 1 in 5. But again, most of them asleep in those years growing up. You get to the younger mature adults, the 30 to 45 crowd, almost half, 45% are star seeds. You get to the young adults, the 19 to 29-year-olds, two-thirds of them are star seeds.
Wow.
You get to the teenagers, 13 to 18-year-olds, their high schoolers, 81% of them are star kids.
Oh, that's exciting.
Hold your seat. Now,
yeah.
You get to the kids,
yeah,
12 years old, the preschoolers and the grade schoolers, 96% are star kids.
Wow.
Not all of them are awake, and
yeah,
many of them are not, but many of them at least know they're different. Luckily, I think some star seeds in our media, want to do cartoons in some of these films, like Matrix and
mm-hmm,
some of these other films that show star kids levitating blocks in the air and being able to see the future and so forth. I think a number of our listeners are probably seen some of those special films that have come out more recent years. These kids light up and say, "Yeah, that's like me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, the films portray it as an interesting story. It's not a Star Kid documentary, but I'll tell you, these kids light up because for the first time they see on the screen kids doing what they can do, and they don't feel so weird anymore.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And, some of the cartoons you see, kids are playing in the backyard, and a star visitor comes down and joins the play circle, and it's unremarkable. Oh, yeah, well, that's, what's his face over there? Joe, or whatever name they give the star visitor. And, yeah, you can come play with us, too. You know, And those kind of cartoons, again, kind of support the ordinariness of these kids' experience of having a star visitor actually visit them.
Mm-hmm.
And here they see it on the screen, again, as a story, but at least it's out of the closet that far.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's little bit by little bit, our society is becoming more awakened and supportive of UFO reality, and the star visitors are real. And then the last shoe to fall is they're here among us, and their presence here has been transformative of very, very many humans.
Mm-hmm.
Last night or the night before, ABC, there was a UFO special that really finally stopped. It dropped the debunking tone and just served a number of sightings and a number of professional government pilot military witnesses saying, yeah, this stuff's real. They're here in our skies. And so slowly, creakingly, agonizingly, the main media is starting to get around the edges of this phenomenon and begin to start talk about a bit of it, at least, as reality.
Mm-hmm. There's more of it now. There's so many shows coming out. Here's an example. I was at a friend's the other day, and in the jacuzzi of her condo or apartment complex, we're sitting there, and all of us are aware and aware that we're starseed beings or starseed light beings, and we had been actually having this kind of conversation, and a man and his wife get in the pool, and he was all happy, and my friends knew him. I guess they lived there. And they said, oh, what's going on? He goes, oh, I just got my, project sold, and I'm doing this other show. And he was so excited, and they were like, what is it? What is it? He goes, well, I'm a little, I'm not sure to mention it or what it is. And we said, well, what is it? I knew right away. I thought it's going to be something psychic, paranormal. And it was a paranormal show that he's doing with Spielberg. And I guess there's another one on A&E with another big director that I don't remember the name. So we all had this conversation in the jacuzzi with two other people sitting there, Dr. Bolt, just listening because their jaw dropping. We were uncensored, just sitting in there. But he was talking about, all the documentaries he does are all on this, whether, UFOlogy, starseeds, all paranormal experiences and documenting that and all these gadgets and stuff. But I thought, wow, this is great. I mean, in the jacuzzi, just sitting there, and we're having this conversation. This person comes in and is working with us with Spielberg. So there seems to be a push, and I want to ask you, do you think that in a way this is an overall plan to use the media to bring more awareness of this?
Absolutely. This is kind of the bright side of government
mm-hmm.
propaganda use of the media during the wars, particularly World War II, got perfected in somewhat sense. The government got very good at using Disney and other movie makers to put out war propaganda, make the enemy look bad, make people feel good about conquering them. And this is basically social, psychological, political manipulation
mm-hmm.
techniques writ large. And they've conducted the UFO cover-up the same way, with intimidation of people by trotting out scientists who lie and say there's no such thing as UFOs. Anybody who says so needs to see a psychiatrist. That was the standard story for almost 5 decades, and they've done a darn good job of making this wacky stuff and people feel intimidated and afraid to speak up. So it is so refreshingly different to hear, like, your anecdote about a producer associate of Steven Spielberg's. By the way, I thought Spielberg's E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind were two of the finest kind of correct depictions of star visitors I have seen on the film. But it's so refreshing to see this producer associated with Spielberg's talking with you starseeds about you and you guys being open about being starseeds. I think it's going to make him bolder to go back to Steven and say, hey, Steven, we don't need to pussyfoot around this as much as we thought we had.
Yeah.
I was talking to a bunch of starseeds and magic daisies. And they're out loud and proud and out in public, you know. I think we underestimate the audience out there. I think we should just, you know, let it rip, you know.
Yeah.
I hope he has that conversation with Spielberg, and I hope Spielberg makes the kind of films that let it rip. Put it out there.
I agree. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I was hoping that, you know, and he's there a lot, so I'm going to be going, I'm going to keep going back in the jacuzzi, back swimming there.
The truth will bubble up.
Exactly. That's why, you know, when I had heard you originally on the interview with Paranormal 101, I thought, God, there's something here. This more needs to be out. Because I agree with you. I still feel a lot of it is closet. I work myself as a spiritual life coach. It's one of the ways I manifest or express my energy on this planet, this dimension. But I agree, there's so many people that come to me that have certain, you know, a knowingness or a sense of something, or I call it this yearning to go home or not really fitting in or not wanting to play the game, other awarenesses. And, you know, and as they start evolving and connecting more with the truth of who they are, more and more of these attributes come out, but they don't really have, there's no structure, nowhere to go, you know, with it. They end up having, and maybe you can speak to this actually, they end up having trouble being around the other types of people that are either not awake or are, what would it be, just more human form?
Well, I've tried to develop some vocabulary here, and I talk about ordinary humans versus starseeds. And yes, they are, I mean, genetically, they're technically slightly two different species because one operates at a much higher level than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't just stuff like psychic abilities. And, we're talking about sensitivity. And I'm
mm-hmm.
not talking about emotional fragileness. I'm talking about a kind of psychic ability to pick up the energy level of the person next to you, how they're feeling,
mm-hmm.
whether they're putting out good vibes or bad energy.
What their true intent is, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just without even trying, it's like mm-hmm. you walk near a blast furnace, you're going to feel heat coming up. I mean, you don't even have to try. You know, you just navigate through a crowd of folks, and you can kind of pick up vibes and energy levels, and some of the star seeds can pick up on what people are thinking or what attitude they're putting out without the person opening their mouth. And, you know, it's a very sensitive environment. In such an environment, the star seeds all, you know, tend to conduct themselves well because, you know, we're operating in total transparency. It's like everybody walking around naked on a...
That's right.
Emotional, psychic, metaphysical level, we're all kind of open to each other and easily read. And then you get around the ordinary humans who think that they can have any dark thought or feeling they want because nobody can tell what they're thinking until they open their mouth, or they're running around kind of spiritually underdeveloped and carrying all these brooding turmoil kinds of feelings, unresolved issues, you know, they don't realize they're putting out kind of this mess as a kind of radiating field around them, and other people can feel it. And so it can be kind of tough at times to navigate with some regular humans who have this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and even the ones who aren't particularly burdened. You know, it's much easier for a starseed to relate to another starseed. They have so much in common. But with regular humans, there's a whole area where you don't have it in common. And unless they're awful open-minded, you're a bit reluctant to go into the differences. You don't
mm-hmm.
want to make that a person feel bad, and you
That's
don't
right.
want to seem like a nutcase. And so there's a bit of a discontinuity there that. We can bridge with enough love and understanding over time and gradually feeding people little bits of hints of things until you see how open they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it takes work. Whereas you get a bunch of starseeds in the same room and it's duck soup, you know,
mm-hmm.
like you get a star Kids Darcy workshop coming up October 18, 19 weekend.
Yeah, would you say where that is?
Pennsylvania.
It's in Pennsylvania?
Allentown, Pennsylvania. Yeah, the details are on my website about this, but I just brought that up because one of the common experiences when you get all these Darcys and Darcys in the same room and we're talking about star visitors that we've seen or the psychic stuff we know how to do and how that's worked for us in our lives, you know, everybody's so relaxed. They can let their hair down. They can look over their shoulder and worry well, the next guy's looking at them funny.
Mm-hmm.
They can just be themselves and know that the person across the circle from them is being themselves, and everybody's kind of on the same page of understanding reality, and it is such a wonderful, relaxing, supportive environment for people to operate in. People are really reluctant to go home at the end because it's such a wonderful little micro society to be in, and it kind of reminds us of how it can be when we get society transformed. Pretty soon it's going to be all star kids and star seeds with these percentages looming up. You know, right now we've got the young ones are about 96%, essentially about another generation to 100% of the human race will be star seed.
Wow.
But before that, we've got enough on board now. Star seeds and star kids form on a global basis a slight numerical majority, and so we need to start feeling free to transform our society now, not wait till it's 100%, because Mother Earth is hurting, human needs are going unattended to or badly attended to, and we have so much to offer. And star kids and star seeds are really in a position to take leadership, and often you will find them in leadership positions, be it, you know, film, government, schools, industry, science, research, social improvement, in all the areas, because they've got energy, dynamism, they can see, they have a large heart to care about things, and they bring so much vision to what we could be and how to get from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
So we live in dynamic, interesting times, and the Stargate and Starseeds are a large part of that.
We are seeding the new future, aren't we? I mean, we're creating it or co-creating it now, you know, on this planet, on this dimension. I mean, that's my hope. That's my dream, that it, really there is going to be this unfolding, or this tipping point where more people or enough are consciously aware and embracing this. I mean, do you see that happening more and more with your, because you know, travel quite a bit with your workshops. Do you see a difference, let's say, from even, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, I like to think so. Being a psychologist, I have to worry about, cautious about, you know, projecting my own view of the world onto the environment around me, but I try and control for that. And what I seem to notice is just a tad more graciousness among people, adults, let's just stick with adults,
okay,
in dealing with each other. I live in a rural community that, you know, will never be accused of being on the flaming left fringe of society, put it mildly.
Yeah,
but I, you know, even little things like people kind of holding the door for each other, even men holding the door for another man, which, you know, was not to be seen in previous generations or decades, instead of everybody for themselves, trying to be more gracious with each other. I certainly see the anti-war movement is springing from star seeds, a lot of leadership there. When I went to some marches in Washington, D.C. with a woman who's a
star visitor incarnated as a human, but barely. I mean, she has a lot of praying mantis star visitor qualities about her, and very large recollection of her previous existence and powerful psychic ability. We were picking up on all the star seats in the crowd. They were the majority of who was there. This is when it wasn't popular to be protesting the war.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that kind of leadership is kind of a dramatic example. But in lesser ways, we see it elsewhere where people care to get corruption out of government or get people out of materialistic goals in businesses to more socially responsible objectives.
Mm-hmm.
As primary rather than making the last dollar in cutthroat practices. There are many, many pieces of our society that we can clean up and make them fly right. And, well, I don't want to deprecate the many humans, ordinary humans of goodwill out there. They're part of
right.
human society and have much to contribute to. And many of them are in leadership positions as well. You know, while I could speak of the star seeds, shall we say, greater endowment or giftedness, it's not to deprecate the ordinary humans. If I can make a quick backtrack in human history.
And let me just say, after this, I'll get to the 919 caller. Go ahead, Dr. Boland. To backtrack?
Yeah. The short history of the human race is this. We are all hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
Star visitors came down and crossbred a primate species with their genetics to create the first humans 350,000 or so years ago in Africa. That was Homo sapiens. And the reason there's a missing link from previous primates is because there was no evolutionary gradual change. It was biological engineering. Kaboom, all of a sudden Homo sapiens didn't exist before.
Mm-hmm.
They gave this experiment about 175,000 years to run, and they saw still too much territoriality and aggression and so forth in the species, so they came back and did an upgrade to Homo sapiens sapiens about 175,000 years ago, and they spread across the earth and built many societies, but still too many wars, greed, materialism, not the technology got ahead of the spiritual and moral development levels.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the capstone of that was our atomic bombing two cities to bits in World War II. And they said, well, the recipe needs some more work. So in started coming the Star Kids. And so now we are the third iteration, or we are human 3.0. But our antecedent species, Homo sapiens sapiens,
mm-hmm.
even Homo sapiens are hybrids too. So while we may be a better recipe of hybrids, we need not look down our noses at ordinary humans who have a tad of the star stuff to their recipe as well, and certainly are capable of, as we have seen, a very high principled functioning spiritual achievement, peacemaking, creating a better world around them. So we need the best efforts of regular humans and starseeds pulling together to straighten out our society and let us reach our full potential.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. Well put. Okay, so we're going to go to caller 919-674. You're on the line.
Greetings. Hello.
Hello. Greetings. You're on the line with Dr. Boland, and this is Michelle with Awakenings.
Ah, well done.
Uh-huh.
And I am pleased to hear that you have counselor there.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what is your first name?
This is Fran. He will know me.
Hi, Fran. Oh, wonderful. Dr. Boland, Fran is on the line for you.
Well, this is a special treat because Fran is starseed.
Oh.
I know Fran. In fact, she's
greetings,
the gallery's
counselor.
Mentioned.
I hear you're doing well.
Marching with, yes, in Washington. I am doing pretty well, and nice to hear from you.
Likewise. I'm looking forward to the upcoming workshop in which a lot of people, even now, will be having a lot of healing and balancing so they can wake up and not feel like they're out of sorts, as it were.
Yeah, I should mention that Fran is going to assist me in facilitating October 18, 19 Star Kids Star Seed workshop. We're going to have a bunch of wonderful kids and adults there, and we're going to have a great time. And Fran is going to let her hair down and come out of the closet with her mantis background as a star visitor before she came here for this lifetime. She might even regale the group with a little of her praying mantis race speech that she remembers from her previous life.
Indeed.
Now, do you want to share, Fran, a little bit, you know, not say everything, but the works, because we have people listening from obviously all over the country and internationally. What the workshop, what's the main focus and a little bit of what people can expect? And this is going to be October 18th and 19th. And would you,
Allentown,
Pennsylvania, yes.
It's not too far from Philadelphia.
Okay.
In Lehigh Valley. People have heard of Bethlehem, U.S. Steel. All of the
Oh, yes. Okay.
And that complex of cities near the, where Pennsylvania gets near the state line there with New York and New Jersey.
And what kinds of things do you do in the workshop?
Fran, do you want to say a little bit about your experience, and then I can add
Okay.
to
Well, generally there are various going over various attributes and learning how to access those at a peaceable pace with each person, so they can discover that on their own, as it were, with a little bit of assistance, as it were. There's also the aspect that I noticed that on such as the chatting in the chat room, since I have to address this, that a lot of people I noticed mentioned that they feel like they want to go home and they do not belong here. I have to say to that, to these people, yes, you do belong here, because you made a mission to come here to help assist other folks in humanity to help themselves heal and to evolve and to learn about their starry backgrounds. So you did make a choice to come here and to not let being in human form get you down, because you have, there's lots of lessons to learn. So,
Ooh, thanks for speaking that, Star Sister. I have felt, I remember when I came down. I remember when I was, we wouldn't call it time frame, but somewhat of that, when I was going to be coming down or incarnating. And I had a choice, but I had a decision. I didn't really, and I remember this was a small kid. It was like a little dream that played over and over, and I kept saying, I don't really want to, I'm not sure, and it was left up to me, but I knew I had to and I needed to,
Indeed.
That I had agreed to,
Indeed.
But then I wanted to kind of change my mind.
Indeed.
You know, it's a little like a Peace Corps worker that's sent over to, let's say, Africa, you know, and they're in a village there, and people need help, and they've got skills to help with, but they get homesick and they kind of miss how it was at home, and that's okay. It's a legitimate feeling. Of course you can get homesick, but you stay with your commitment and see it out. And I think maybe that could be a comparison to how star seeds or star visitors, you incarnate as humans, star seeds, can feel pangs for the, frankly, pleasanter society that they came from. But they still know they got a mission here to help Earth out at this very difficult time in its evolution as a society.
Yeah. I know. I do feel better about being here now that more people are coming out.
Yes.
That's an interesting way of phrasing it.
Down the closet.
But isn't it kind of like that in a way? I feel that. I feel like it's been very closeted.
Sadly, it has been. Also, during the workshop, there's the aspect of also opening oneself when we get together to do outreach to relatives that we have out and about in the galaxy that this solar system happens to reside in, and to see what contact may be received.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
we do that kind of formally in the Sky Watch on Saturday night. Gather in a quiet, remote place and do some telepathic outreach. And sometimes a craft will come by in the sky, but I think perhaps more meaningfully, star visitors have often come down near our circle, not necessarily visibly, but with telepathic communications. And in some cases, people have felt them, and some of our more psychically talented members have actually seen them. I'm an old model starseed. My psychic seeing isn't as great as some folks, but I can kind of feel the energy where they're standing and can spot that and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be kind of an exciting moment within the workshop experience when you detect at some level their presence, that they've responded to the invitation to come in.
Indeed. It can be quite intriguing. If I may share a couple of words or thoughts with you in my own native tongue,
yes.
Of course, I will translate afterwards for your listening audience as well as for your individuals that are chatting, I guess, in what's called a chat room of sorts. A lot of this terminology to me is like, okay, because I'm not used to it.
Okay.
The mechanical technology I'm not used to. It's hard to explain. But anyway.
But you're here.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
Hold on one moment.
When we start switching to mantis people speech patterns, then.
Okay. Simply what was relayed was simply that learn to heal oneself and everyone else around you so you may be able to balance with yourselves and with Gaia as well so all can live in peace and be true to oneself.
Mm. Now, when you were doing the languaging, the speech, I felt a lot of energy in my heart chakra, my heart lung area.
Yes.
Felt a lot of tingling and opening there.
That's because it's a message that comes from the heart center, as far as the human being is concerned.
Okay.
It's no matter what species a person may be, whether they incarnate as human or simply as their own original physical being to begin with, when one speaks from the heart, it resonates, and all that hear it know it. Ironically, for me, you mentioned about people letting their hair down and whatnot. Even that for me is a bit much because I find hair to be a real problem. I find fingers to be very peculiar and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it wouldn't be maybe a different term for you than letting
yes,
the hair down,
yes,
right? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
if people want to go on my website to the section where it talks about, presents pictures and drawings and photos of different star visitors and flip over to the one about the mantis people, they'll see that the mantis people do not have hair. Their body structure is somewhat more like a cross between our praying mantis insect and an upright humanoid. And the extremities of the arms do not come out into five fingers, right, Fran? It's more
indeed
of a mitten-like enclosure, grasping area.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
So she finds five fingers a little bit much in this lifetime.
Interestingly enough, yes. Of course, a lot of this started from very early childhood. When you start from preschool and on up, and you're trying to figure things out, and basically the adults at that time are thinking, oh, you're just going through a growing phase. You're right in one sense. I am going through a growing phase, but that still doesn't make it easier to try to comprehend.
Right. Right, exactly. It is a growing phase.
And there was no Star Kid workshop or book anything else out there when you were growing up to help you make sense of yourself.
No. Definitely not. And I would have to say that if you ever happen to see the film Starman with Jeff Bridges, I identified with him to the extent that, oh my gosh, talk about trying to puzzle your way through life and you don't really have much of anything as far as instruction goes as to what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
So
that seems to be an overriding theme. I find it. I say it's like there's a rule book here, but we didn't get it or it doesn't relate to us, so it's you kind of have to find your way in a sense.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, I do encourage everybody to read the Star Kids, the Emerging Cosmic Generation book I've got online at my site.
Very highly.
It's very comprehensive. You read that, and I would guarantee you, you will make a lot of sense to yourself as a star seed after you've finished that book.
You could go to
the basis.
Dr. Boland's website, or there's also a link on the Awakenings page that you're listening to the program through. There's a direct link also to Amazon. There's a icon of the book, and if you roll over that, that will take you there also.
I can say this, Fran, about mitten versus five fingers. It's easier using five fingers on each hand to count to 10 than using mittens.
There is this. Yes.
Yeah, so there is some advantage to the human.
Yes, that's true. Interfacing.
I like to pull her leg once in a while.
Oh, I am not going to go near that.
No.
Now,
however,
go ahead.
However, it does come to be an interesting thing when we had Counselor Chloe show up at a workshop, and I didn't realize it, but she is related to my mother. Not my biological mother, but my starry mother.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find
Chloe being a Mantis star visitor as well?
Okay.
Fellow Mantis star visitor, which makes you what, cousin or niece to?
I believe that would make me a niece to her.
Okay.
And
so she's your aunt. Aunt Counselor Chloe, you might call her. Moment.
Mm.
Yes.
And we have another caller. Fran, you want to stay on the line? I'm just going to open the other line.
That's up to you. I was about to let you go, but
you can stay.
Go for it.
You can stay, and if you feel like hanging up, you could just hang up. It's up to you.
Okay.
Okay, great. Maybe it won't let me do.
Well, you're dealing with primitive earthling technology.
I know. And also, Dr. Bourne, do you find this too, that what happens also is that, the computers, everything are calibrated to old, brain matter and consciousness. So every time there's an upshifting, things just don't work.
Yeah, the energy around your studio right now is probably awesome. You'd rather develop star. Seed person.
Absolutely.
Plus all the rest of us pouring energy in through those transistors.
Yeah. Last week we had a crash, just our site. Okay, 706-238, you're on the line. You're on Awakenings. Hello.
This is Douglas Malloy. How is everyone?
Hey, Dougie Slap.
How's it going?
Great.
Good.
I'd like to first extend a thank you to Dr. Richard Boylan for being on Paranormal about a month ago. and I really enjoyed the show. I went in and downloaded all of the different psychic abilities that you have listed on your website as far as what we can develop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
fascinating. And, of course, we have the psychic exercises section there, too, a little listing of some suggested exercises that people can develop their psychic muscles with.
Right, right. Because when you stop and think about it, is that when you look at all of those, and there must be close to about 50 different abilities, and
yeah,
the average person usually basically isn't in touch with very many of them, if any at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is a very curious thing because I was really surprised when the host, what is your name? Is that wrong?
Michelle.
She was 54 out of 54 of the questions. Steve and I were 30 out of the questions. And I thought that was pretty amazing that Michelle is one of those individuals who is pretty much aware of pretty much everything involved within the context of who we are and what we can do, and it's pretty fascinating to me.
That's why I started crying. That's why I'm telling you, this is like really coming home.
That's a fabulous score.
Yeah, and so
it's just, from the healing, the animals. I couldn't believe
when,
let me tell you, I counted it 3 or 4 times because I took down each, attribute, and maybe if we have time, I tried to find the list again on the website. I couldn't find it, but maybe we can share it with our listeners. But I wrote down everything, and some were 2 points, some were 1 point. The only thing I'm not able to bring animal beings back to life.
You biker.
I'm
healing them.
Or yes.
Yeah, the question is two-pronged. If you heal animals or flowers or things, that's a point. If you bring them back to life, that's 5 points, because that's major league. That's advanced graduate school when you develop
indeed
the abilities to that level.
But
healing animals, healing people. I've even gone to zoos, stood by giraffes, and telepathically called them over, and the animals will lean towards me. I have a picture.
Yep. All animals are telepathic.
Yes, they are.
Secret.
Yes, they are. Extremely telepathic. They read our mental images.
Yeah, we don't realize that intuition is a universal language, and everything that exists
ding,
can
ding,
communicate
ding, ding.
through that technique of intuition. Everything from plants to animals, the planet, everything that exists will use the same language, which is intuition, which it really behooves us, and this is why Dr. Richard Boylan's work is so important, is he's basically trying to let us know that, yes, there's aspects to ourselves that are more evolved and more involved than just our seeming biology, and we can come in touch with that and start being more effective in our humanity as a star beings, and it's absolutely wonderful. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Now, I have a couple of questions, and I don't want to, because you guys don't know what it took to get Dr. Boylan here. He's very busy. I want to make sure you get your, I was a little nudge. I was a nice nudge, but.
But not a nebbish.
Yeah, right, not a nebbish, but a little nudge.
We cut you a little slack.
Thank you. One question, we have a couple questions here. One is, and you had talked earlier about the mating, people now that they're the starseed babies, there's more, I think you said 86% or it's about 96% actually. So is it, if two starseed beings on this planet, this dimension, have a child, is it going to be a starseed baby?
Well, yeah, these are hardwired into our genetics, the star seeds that, are here because of gene splicing. It's hardwired into the genetics, so it's passed on to the next generation. And when you have, even a starseed marrying an ordinary human, their kid would have half the starseed genetic endowment. And if two starseeds marrying have kids, then they would have 100% of that inheritance of starseed qualities.
Okay.
That's why, and so between intermarriage and passing on, you know, that's why I say that within a generation or so, the whole human race is going to have star kid qualities to them.
Wow.
I just have a quick question for Dr. Richard Boylan. Dr. Richard, do you think that this, what you just mentioned about everybody's going to start applying things, do you or would you equate that to activation of the brain? Because it seems like psychic abilities and brain activation have a correlation or a correspondence.
Well, yeah, many psychic abilities are mediated by the brain, the cerebrum, the physical structure that supports mental activity. But I don't want to make all psychic abilities, products of brain functioning. Certainly intention and focused thought drive many of the abilities to happen, but there's others that are kind of endowed throughout our body, like the ability to feel empathically and project energy. It doesn't just come out of the brain. But the unfolding of some of the mental capacity that has not fully been expressed in regular humans is certainly happening with star kids and star seeds. They are brighter and, frankly, some of their brain structure and the shape of their head, their skull, to hold the larger development of the brain is pronounced enough that you can look at a number of today's kids and see that their heads are shaped a little differently than the old style kid. They've got a little more development in the front or on top, and these are areas where psychic and intelligence functions are housed in the brain in those areas. My friend Fran here, if she's still on the phone, could say a bit about this human brain structure from her perspective, coming from the Mantis People Society.
Indeed. Well, for one, I'm used to having a lot longer neck to start with. It can be rather interesting as to how you're trying to get your entire brain structure into the form that you're currently inhabiting now, because you're used to having a little bit more than what you are ending up with.
A larger brain case.
Oh, yes.
A larger brain capacity or physical size and a larger skull to house it in, that while you wouldn't be indelicate enough to call us human spinheads, but I suppose everybody can make comparisons.
No.
No one goes so far as to say that, no.
No, but, you know, that has struck me that one of the kindnesses of the Zeta people have very pronounced larger skulls in comparison to humans resting on their bodies, you know, size-wise, in comparison, that they've never resorted to calling humans pinheads, but they could if you were to put one side by side with a human and say, boy, those humans really got small skulls. It's a miracle they can get a decent thought out.
Is that what you think of larger forehead, Dr. Boland, where there's a more forehead?
The psychic function, as much as it's localized in the brain, it tends to be in the frontal lobes. That seems to be where scientists have measured that brain firing activity tends to happen when persons are engaged in psychic activity. Mm. So it makes sense for that part of the brain to be more developed if the person's going to operate at a higher functioning level in the realm of psychic ability.
Mm. Makes sense. So another question, how do we get in touch with our star parents, our starseed parents?
Well, you have a free long-distance phone known as mental telepathy.
Okay.
And it very requires simple. Not just brain, but heart center, right, Fran?
Indeed. It a lot of things that humanity can do to connect with their relatives out in this galaxy are so simple, I would refer to as disgusting because it does not have to be complicated.
Mm.
If that makes sense, I have no idea.
It makes sense.
Well, essentially, as I find amongst some people out in society, they tend to make things so complicated and difficult when it really is very simple.
Yes.
And not hard to comprehend. And it's like, okay, I give up.
Mm-hmm. Someone just in the chat room put one mind. Yeah, I think if you go in that space, right, which is what I do when you remote view or what, you know, you shift, you align or tune in and get into that space, and they're right there.
The person in the chat room probably is doing the Star Trek-y thing of mind meld. That would be kind of what it's like. You know, if we use the example of our Peace Corps person stationed in some small village in the other half of the world, and let's say they get lonely and they think about mom and dad, and there's no phone service out in the village where they're working, and then they sit down and maybe they summon up some of their abilities and send out a longing thought, but with a picture of them in their heart and their mind, and sending love out, and gee, I wish I could say it, be on the phone, but I love you, mom and dad, and hope you're doing fine. You don't want to think that travels across and gets there. It does.
Yeah, you could feel it. You could feel it.
Yeah, and the other end can feel it, too.
See, I think, too, and reminds me by what you're saying, Dr. Boland. See, we're so conditioned on this dimension in this society to not, that it has to always be physical form or something tangible. My perception is the more you get familiar and comfortable and use the subtle energy, begin to feel that plane, that's the communication. Others will feel it too on the other end or other side.
Now, if you all get good enough at this, we can put AT&T out of business.
That's right.
I love that.
Now, somebody's also asking in the chat room, Fran and Dr. Boland, can they also, our starseed parents, be guides for us? Can they help us on our path? Our human path.
They already are. Maybe I'll defer to my colleague Fran, who's got better star memory connection. How frequent is it the case that a human is assigned a star visitor guide, Fran, would you say?
How often?
I
would say, oh gosh.
I'll put it as a percentage maybe.
I would say 95% of the time to 100% of the time.
I think that answers it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So a person has a reasonable expectation that one of the guide's unseen presences around them that kind of nudges them and helps them move and get inspired to move in helpful directions in their life and making better choices. They have reason to believe that one of those guys is a star visitor because these are very loving beings. There are billions of them, and they're very concerned about humans and want to be helpful without being intrusive. And so they cut that very fine line of trying to be present and trying to put little indications and feelings out without overwhelming you and taking away your free will.
Indeed.
Would that be fair to say, Fran?
Indeed, very much so. Also that if someone is in question as to whether or not they're being approached by a star relative or not, is to send a loving energy or vibration from their heart center to them and see what the reaction is. If it comes back in return, then that's very solidifies the connection between the two. Otherwise, whatever presented itself is going to be repulsed. Very simple.
Wow. Yeah. God, I'm getting excited. We're really going for it. I can just see being telepathic again, you know, and trusting it. I think that's the one thing is to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can speak of that, how to trust that your, you know, energy or your missions, what you're emitting out is actually, because you'll feel it, but then people second guess themselves and say, I think I felt something.
Yeah. I would have to say probably when I first started hearing from my aunt and other star folks, such as Counselor for the Watchers. He happens to be the reptoid species of the star folks. His energy is so gentle, it's unbelievable. As for my aunt, she is very loving and very caring at the same time. She can put down a gentle foot if she needs to get a point across.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say he doesn't, but hey.
The difference.
So
you discern the you're able to feel the subtle differences of their energy patterning.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
When you experience the energy that that a star relative will express, there's no mistaking afterwards. There's no mistaking afterwards because you know who it is. As Counselor describes it, is called an energy signature. A signature meaning that marks that being, that intelligence.
Yeah, a distinctive pattern to the feeling of the energy. Mm-hmm. And to get back to your point about guides, I would encourage people to begin to reach out and feel for the energy pattern, the feeling, the energy signature, if you will, of the star visitor guide that is near them. They may even be able to spatially locate where the star visitor is near them, but also notice the quality of the energy, not only at a kind of energetic, metaphysical energetic level, but at an emotional level. Because the energy signature is the combination of a kind of metaphysical energy patterning and an emotional feel to it. You know, is it bright? Is it gentle? Is it warming? Is it supportive? You know, and those feelings can alter depending on what the mission is at the moment for the star guide. I'm at a point where I need to kind of wrap this up.
Yes, we've actually gone over. I didn't mean to keep you this long.
Yeah,
so.
But it's been a fabulous discussion, and appreciate Fran coming out on board to join us and the fine questions and ideas from the people who phoned in and texted you in the chat room. We all have made this soup together be a very rich sharing of experiences and ideas.
Absolutely.
Well, Counselor, I'm the one who is honored to have shared this time with both you and everyone listening.
Thank you, Fran.
We all enrich each other, don't we?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your message. And Dr. Boland, thank you so much for taking the time to share your wisdom and your path and your insight and understanding on this. Anyone that's listening, if you'd like to get more information, you can go to Dr. Boland's website, www.drboland.com, and I've put it in the chat room, and I will again, and that's B-O-Y-L-A-N. And also, there will be a workshop in Allentown, Pennsylvania, October 18th and 19th that can really support you on your path of integrating this awareness and aspect of yourself. Thank you so much. Thank you, Fran.
Bye.
Thank you.
I appreciate your being an upfront starseed, Michelle, and a shining example of putting consciousness
Indeed.
Out there and helping people wake up.
Well, if you ever need anything, I am here. So.
Namaste.
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 Bye, all. Thanks for sharing. It was great.
Thank you. Take care. Love and peace.
Right.
Good journey.
Take care.
Namaste.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Namaste. Wow, everyone, so much love. Wow. I can feel it. We've got a minute left. Dougie Slap, are you there?
Yes, I am still here. I refuse to go anywhere. You have to slap me away to stop it.
I know, everybody. I'm like in a zone, you guys. I am just, it's just, what wonderful connecting and what wonderful heart energy. I don't know what she did with her little...
It's like everything is designed to open us up. I just would like to put a shout out there that Michelle is going to be on my show on Saturday on Reality is Self-Defined, and then I'm going to be Michelle's guest this coming Wednesday on her show.
Yeah, Wednesday the 24th, 12 o'clock. And as you can see, I listened to every. I kept getting emails to extend the show, and we extended it. And it still goes quickly, I guess. So
it just zooms right by.
Yeah.
Yep, like being in the twilight zone of consciousness. Ding, 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 ding.
All right, everyone. Well, we're signing out. Questions, comments, you can email me. Much peace and light.
Take care.
Take care, Doug.
All right, you too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Lots of love and light, everyone. Ashtamaya, namaste. Until next time.